WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump has set a new timeline for any potential U.S. action on Iran, which continues to exchange missile attacks with Israel. The White House says the president will make a decision within the next 2 weeks. ABC's Mary Bruce has more from the White House.
According to a source, the president is troubled by the deep divisions in his own party about what he should do, hold out for negotiations or join the attack. One key ally who's been urging restraint, Steve Bannon, spotted at the White House. One source telling us Trump is trying to psych himself up, convince himself that whatever he ultimately decides to do is warranted.
An appeals court Thursday allowing President Trump to keep control of National Guard troops he deployed to Los Angeles following protests over immigration raids. Hurricane Eric slamming Mexico's Pacific coast as a powerful Category 3 storm. It's the first hurricane to hit Mexico this year. This is ABC News. More than 100 of Napoleon Bonaparte's personal items, which helped shape empires and broke hearts, are going on auction next week. ABC's Chuck Sievertson.
What is your name?
Napoleon.
The 2023 biopic was a big hit and introduced new generations to the French legend. The collection includes personal papers and clothing, including the iconic bicorn hat Napoleon wore in a battle, with wings parallel to his shoulders so soldiers and enemies could spot him instantly through the gunpowder haze. The hat is expected to sell for more than $500,000. There's even the divorce papers involving Josephine. The items will be on display at Sotheby's in Paris ahead of the sale on Wednesday.
Ford recalling nearly 200,000 vehicles due to a potential safety issue in the back seat. The recall involves certain 2021 through 2025 Mustang Mach-Es. Government safety officials say there's a risk that the doors may lock, trapping people in the back during an emergency if the electric vehicle's battery has a low charge. Ford says it's halting sales until a software update's ready. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Brewers win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. A great day today at Wrigley Field where the wind was blowing out and the Brewers taking advantage. An 8-7 win from Milwaukee over the Cubs at the friendly confines. Three home runs today by the crew. Rhys Hoskins, Caleb Durbin, and Isaac Collins getting his fourth home run of the season. Drama in the ninth. Closer Trevor McGill on the mound and some very poor calls on some pitches that should have been called strikes. Pat Murphy visibly upset from the dugout. McGill managed to get out of the inning with one strikeout and getting the Cubs' Seiya Suzuki to hit into a double play. Trevor McGill with his 16th save of the season. Pat Murphy after the win.
Great opportunity for our young guys to then face the great Cubs team coming back and breathing down our necks right to the very end. So it gets pretty emotional.
What did you think of the way Trevor specifically responded?
I thought Trevor's been great, man. This guy's underrated. Trevor's been great.
Up next, the Brewers head to Minnesota for a weekend series against the Twins with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some showers and thunderstorms likely in the overnight. Some heavy rainfall possibility as well. Morning lows in the mid-60s, light south to southeast winds. More heavy rain for the first part of your Friday morning. Then we'll see highs in the mid-80s in the afternoon. It's 66 at our studios.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area will be here to recap all of the week's news. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
When Republicans try to be cute, they always end up looking like Wile E. Coyote in the old cartoons. Governor Evers is the Roadrunner, and his veto pen is the Acme anvil that keeps getting dropped on their heads. If what they want to do over the next few weeks is not pass a state budget, it would be best for them to get one of those tiny cartoon umbrellas to guard against another Acme anvil that voters are going to drop on their heads.
Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Matinair on Air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matinair on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
It is this moment right now, and we need people that have wealth and access to step the hell up.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
We can't take this as a country to have a leader who is so ill-informed and we look terrible.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
You got a bad sandwich at your favorite deli. What do you do about it? We can talk about whatever you want to sound off on.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Juneteenth. Oh, it is such a beautiful day here in southeastern Wisconsin. We got a little sprinkles going on, but the Lord opened up the skies this morning and the sun shined down on Martin Luther King Drive here in Milwaukee for what many consider to be the country's oldest Juneteenth Day parade and celebration. And we have an all-star lineup of fabulous Black women this afternoon to join me to celebrate Liberation Day, Emancipation Day, and to hopefully come together in community and lift and elevate these fabulous Black women. We've got Marcelia Nicholson, chairwoman of the Milwaukee County Board. We've got Sabrina Madison, CEO of the Progress Center for Black Women, also an alderwoman in Madison. We've got Dana Pelabon. She's the executive director of the RCC Sexual Violence Resource Center in Madison. She's also a former Dane County supervisor and Dane County executive candidate. And last, but absolutely not least, we have Elle Halo, a trans Black woman and leader, founder, executive director of Trans Consulting. We're going to be talking with all these amazing women this afternoon, but I did want to start us off with some other wonderful, positive, uplifting news. The LA Dodgers, ladies and gentlemen, told ICE to go kick rocks. Apparently, a horde of ICE agents showed up at Dodgers Stadium, asked to get permission to enter the parking lot, and no. No was the answer. Fabulous. And of course, ICE has now denied that they were ever there. I don't know. I'm going with the Dodgers organization on this one. And it's very interesting that the Dodgers today were celebrating immigrants at their baseball diamond and field. So good for the Dodgers. I never thought I would actually root for the Dodgers under any circumstances, but I might a little today, especially if the Brewers blew that baseball game that was happening. They had like an 8-3 lead. It's evaporated. But I've digressed. Please join me in a hearty, hearty welcome to Miss Marcelia Nicholson, chairwoman of the county board, friend of mine and a friend of all of you. Welcome, Mars. How are you?
Hey, Maggie. Hello, listeners. Good afternoon.
So good to see your smiling face. Tell me, we were chit-chatting a little bit before we hopped on the air. Set the stage for all of us at the Juneteenth Day Parade. You described it so well, and I love summer in the city. So do the vibe check for us,
yes,
will you?
I am smiling for a great reason. So we have the 54th annual Juneteenth Parade today. We kicked off at 9 a.m. It was a full house. We were number 53 in the lineup. And that wasn't even the middle of the parade.
Wow.
There were thousands of people outside. The vibes were vibing. You could hear the music. You could hear the laughter. There was the barbecue smoke wafting in the air. There was the corn roasting. Oh, it was incredible. And of course, after the parade, we had a chance to visit all the incredible vendors. I ran into our wonderful U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, amongst others. Oh, it was incredible. Everyone was in the room. I love Juneteenth with all my heart.
Oh, I love that. Steamy, a little humid this morning. The sun's out, the barbecue going, the corn roasting. Oh, it's such a wonderful event. And I love that Juneteenth, always here in Milwaukee, follows shortly after the Pride Parade and the Pride Fest celebration. So you have this wonderful introduction, welcome into the summer and all this celebration of community,
yes,
and togetherness.
Yes.
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 And all the more important in this moment of all the hate being spewed from certain sectors of our great democracy. We need those moments of coming together now more than ever. But for the uninitiated, Marcy, tell folks what the heck Juneteenth is.
Yes.
And then I have a funny story about how I first learned about Juneteenth. But
okay,
tell everybody what it is.
Yes. So historically, Juneteenth is the day. We call it Freedom Day. Freedom Day is the day in 1865 when enslaved people in Galveston, Texas, found out that they had actually been freed for 2 years. 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, they were found still enslaved. And so we consider these people the last enslaved, which is why we call it Freedom Day. So this is an opportunity for the Black community to just celebrate the fact that we're no longer enslaved, that we're free now, to just be human and to be in community and to just explore what we have as a culture. And so Milwaukee County has one of the longest and largest running Juneteenth, 54 years. Which is an incredible feat. And it's held by the Northcott Community Center. My understanding is the very first Juneteenth was Margaret Rogers, who was a staff member at Northcott, had experienced this celebration, decided to help get it started the year after. And we've consistently done it year after year.
Yeah, it is. It's a wonderful celebration. I try to go every year. Couldn't make it this year, so I'm so glad that you were there, so I can get the eyes on the ground.
I am there. I've been going every year since I was a little girl. Since I could walk. I've been going to Juneteenth. I actually did the Juneteenth pageant in high school.
Did you?
I did.
Girl, you won, didn't you? Tell me you won, girl.
I did not. Oh. You know,
well, they screwed up.
I didn't know the politics then.
I see. It's a little political.
Yeah,
yes.
Just a little bit. But it was an incredible experience. And I've helped, you know, get other young women into the program. It's about empowering young women to celebrate ourselves and who we are.
Yeah, I love that. And so my kind of funny story, and folks, if you're just joining us, I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman, friend of mine and a friend of each and every one of you, joining us to help celebrate Juneteenth. This day, we've got a special day of programming all about Juneteenth lined up, celebrating especially and elevating, lifting up Black women's voices. I learned about Juneteenth when I was a congressional intern for then Congressman Tom Barrett. I was 19 years old, had never been taught what that was.
Wow.
Like, I knew of the fact of June 19th, right? Like, I knew the thing, but I had no awareness of the big celebration. Anywho, so I'm 19, working on the Hill, Congressman Barrett, and one of my tasks as the intern was to write his Juneteenth Day speech.
Wow.
Which was like the perfect assignment for nerdy Maggie.
Yes.
And so then I got all into it and learned the history of it in Milwaukee. And from then on, it was always on the calendar as be sure to go to Milwaukee's Juneteenth Day parade.
Oh, so, my. I'm sure that was the best speech he ever had.
Listen, I am sure it was too. Listen, it was punchy. It was connecting with people. It was a good piece of work. I remember being very proud about it.
I love it.
And he did tell me later, Tom's such a nice man, did tell me later that he read it basically without a single edit. So I thought that was super duper cool. Tom from New Berlin on the text line saying, hey, the Brewers, they squeaked this one out, double play to end the game 8-7. So other good news we are celebrating. If you'd like to talk to the chairwoman or myself, if you want to learn things about Juneteenth, give us a call or a text, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. I also wanted to say to one of our dear friends, Mark from Prairie du Sac, who got a clean bill of health today from his oncologist, no cancer. We're so happy for you, Mark. You have been a loyal listener for many, many years, and we love you for it. Thank you.
Congratulations, Mark.
Staying high to Steve in Milwaukee in the Richland area. He says, hey, Marcy, hello to Steve. And of course, Cam from Appleton telling us all hello. If you want to, again, say hi to the chairwoman, say hey, happy Freedom Day, 855-752-4842. Now, there's something new about this year's Juneteenth celebrations. Tell us about that. I was really excited to hear this.
Yeah, so, that's why I'll be leaving a little early today. So for the first time, the Summerfest Grounds is hosting a Juneteenth celebration. So today is opening day. We'll be on the stage. We'll be kicking it off, sharing with the Summerfest participants what Juneteenth is, introduce them a little bit about what the holiday is, talk a little bit about the culture. They're having a taste of Juneteenth. So there'll be some local businesses offering their amazing foods. And we have a lineup of incredible artists, folks like Eric Benet.
Get my fan ready for some Eric Benet.
Yes, I mean, tell me about it. I'm not missing that one for the world. So it's another opportunity to include such a wonderful holiday in a festival grounds or in the world of festivals, and providing more inclusion, more accessibility, more salience around the holiday.
Yeah, they've got the Isley Brothers, Gary Clark Jr., and of course, Eric Benet's there because he is a native Milltown son. So I thought that was super cool and so nice to have that come together with the opening of Summerfest, of course. Yes. And to top it all off, because I'm going to maybe try to see you down there, the Allman Betts Band is playing at the BMO Pavilion, which, you know, Marcy, I love some Allman Brothers, and so might be popping in for a little Juneteenth action.
Love
and
it.
To see one of my favorite bands. All good things. Also today, I was proud and happy to read and credit to Savannah Tomei Olson here at Civic Media. She put together an article. You can find it at civicmedia.us celebrating the Governor Tony Evers today raised the Juneteenth Day flag yesterday at the state capitol, gave remarks on a frankly fairly new federal holiday. Here's what the governor had to say. For 160 years, this day has been recognized across the nation to celebrate the true end of slavery in the United States, and in 1987 to bring this home to Wisconsin. State Senator Spencer Coggs, friend of both of ours, and Representative Marsha Coggs, the namesake of our brand new beautiful DHHS building, and you're going to have to remind me exactly where the new building is, Marcy.
It's off of 12th and Valete.
Right. I knew it was 12th and something. And State Representative Marsha Coggs proposed the first legislation to recognize Juneteenth in Wisconsin. It took us another two decades to get it right. Yeah. This is the sixth year in a row that the Juneteenth Day flag has flown at Wisconsin's Capitol. That's wonderful.
Oh, it's so wonderful. And the governor was there at Juneteenth.
Yes.
He was shaking hands, kissing babies. It was amazing.
Tony is a man of the people, just a regular guy. He'd sidle up right next to you on a bar stool and you wouldn't even know it's
That's
the gov.
Exactly right. In fact, we said, is that the governor?
Right? He is low-key fabulous. You know what I'm saying?
Gotta love him. Gotta love him.
You do. We've got Marcy Nicholson. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. She's the fabulous county board chairwoman in Milwaukee County. We're taking your calls and questions in this show-long celebration of Juneteenth and black women, black leaders especially. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Whenever that track's playing, I have to keep myself from singing Mary J. Blige's part, which no one really needs to hear right now. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn, host of this, The Maggie Dawn Show, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Hope your Thursday afternoon is wrapping up well. Hope you've had a lovely day. My guest this hour has certainly had a lovely day. Celebration Freedom Day. Juneteenth Day. Her name is Marcelia Nicholson. She's the county board chairwoman here in Milwaukee County. You were my boss for a period of time, basically.
You know, you were my favorite to work with. I was just talking. I have a new communications person, and I was just telling her how the board meetings just aren't the same without you. You have such a big presence. You would just light up the room.
You never knew what exactly I was going to say.
You never knew. You were just brilliant, you know.
Well, thank you for that.
We really miss you.
And you and I got to talk about our shoes a lot,
yes.
Which was fun. We would text each other photos of our fabulous shoes that we happened to be wearing in the county board meetings, which was good fun.
We would coordinate outfits on special days.
Yes.
Yes.
And So speaking of the county, and I wanted to start to unpack some of the I think complexities and challenges within the justice movement for and about Black women, right? One of the reasons that I was so excited to have you on and our other amazing guests, we've got Sabrina Madison from the Progress Center for Black Women, Dana Pelabon from the RCC Sexual Violence Resource Center, and Elle Halo from Trans Consulting joining us all in the second hour. But the reason that I wanted to have this fabulous lineup of Black women is that the systemic challenges for Black women in this country are really acute, and yet all of the justice movements in this country would never have succeeded, would not have happened without Black women. And you and I worked together at the county to address some of that, right? Yeah. And you continue that work. You were the catalyst, really the originator of Milwaukee County's historic declaration of racism as a public health crisis. We were the first jurisdiction in the country to do that. You did that, Marcy, so yes. thank you for your work. But a couple of the challenging moments that you and I confronted were specifically about intersectionality.
Yes.
Right? And folks not understanding what that means. And while people seemed receptive to talking about race, there was a lot of pushback, and it came primarily from white men,
yes,
about expanding that and expanding our understanding about what justice and equity truly means,
right,
and fully trying to get our arms around what Kimberly Crenshaw termed as intersectionality.
Right.
So if you can you just share with people what is intersectionality? And if you are someone that's in movement, believes in the cause of justice and human dignity and equity, why you got to get your arms around this?
Absolutely. So it's, you know, thinking about when we talk about equity, we sometimes focus on race, but we don't also think about gender. We don't think about class and how that intersects with that racism. So for instance, me as a Black woman who also grew up poor, I have three things batting against me. It's not enough to combat racism. We also have to address patriarchy, and we also have to address economic inequality. I'm at the bottom of the totem pole. It's been said that there's no one more disrespected, more hated than a Black woman. So that's what we mean when we talk about intersection. It's are we looking at all the areas, all the layers to oppression that people are feeling? If you're a Black trans woman, right, that intersection, you're even lower on a totem pole. You're even more disrespected because now you're battling homophobia, transphobia. So it's, you know, it's multi-layered. And unfortunately, we live in a society where we're running away. We're attacking DEI. We're attacking race theory. We're attacking that anti-political wokeness, where we have this new anti-political wokeness or this political correctness. Folks just don't want to think about what people are battling. So yeah. It's tough, Maggie. It's hard.
I have this t-shirt that says privilege.
Yes.
Assuming that simply because you didn't experience something that it's not real,
right?
White folks, white men, but white women, and I want to get into this, the relationship, the wonderful support that white women can and should meet to help elevate our Black sisters and brown sisters, especially in the workplace, but why that can be particularly challenging, the failures of feminism to really think about and center Black women in that movement.
Absolutely.
It's so important. But when we look at this, one of the things that I saw you experience as the leader of the county board was white men telling you about what justice is. White
right.
men, and you know exactly the two I'm talking about, but talking to you
yes.
like as if they were teaching you something
yes.
about how systems oppress.
Yes.
It was shocking.
Oh yeah, white men who grew up in affluent communities, white men whose parents never had to choose between a light bill and a medical bill or putting food on the table. I'm someone with lived experience that informs the work that I do. So to have to battle specifically white men who've been privileged since the founding of this country, it's angering. It angers me. But I'm going to continue to push because that's what we have to do. And Maggie, you're one of those allies. And I thank you. I thank you for always sticking up for me, too.
You've had my back. I will always have yours. That one you can take to the bank, my friend. We're going to continue this discussion when we come back. I've got Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman, fearless leader, and BS caller, Marcelia Nicholson. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Juneteenth, everybody. Stick with us. We'll be back with more after the break.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump has set a new timeline for any potential U.S. action on Iran, which continues to exchange missile attacks with Israel. The White House says the president will make a decision within the next 2 weeks. ABC's Mary Bruce has more from the White House.
According to a source, the president is troubled by the deep divisions in his own party about what he should do, hold out for negotiations or join the attack. One key ally who's been urging restraint, Steve Bannon, spotted at the White House. One source telling us Trump is trying to psych himself up, convince himself that whatever he ultimately decides to do is warranted.
An appeals court Thursday allowing President Trump to keep control of National Guard troops he deployed to Los Angeles following protests over immigration raids. Hurricane Eric slamming Mexico's Pacific coast as a powerful Category 3 storm. It's the first hurricane to hit Mexico this year. This is ABC News.
The Pacers beat the Thunder. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports basketball. The Pacers dominated the Thunder last night in Indianapolis, 108-91, to tie up the NBA Finals at three games apiece. Oshkosh, Wisconsin's Tyrese Halliburton from the Pacers on Sunday night in Oklahoma City. It'll be the first time there's been a Game 7 in the Finals in 9 years.
You know, for the next couple of days, the narratives are going to be almost poison, you know, to talk about what this would mean to our city and legacy talk, and we played so well.
Baseball tonight, the Brewers opening a three-game series against the Twins at Target Field. The crew with a dramatic 8-7 win over the Cubs in Chicago yesterday, despite some very questionable balls and strike calls by the home plate umpire against the Brewers' Abner Uribe and Trevor McGill.
Pretty bad calls there in Abner's inning and in my inning. Yeah, I mean, that's baseball, I guess. I mean, they're going to have bad days back there, too.
That's Brewers closer Trevor McGill with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. More big returns are expected at the box office this weekend, and there's a little something for everyone. If you're looking for something in a nice post-apocalyptic shade, check out the latest from the 28 Days franchise called 28 Years Later. The film is highly anticipated as original director Danny Boyle is back at the helm. Pixar's new film Elio also opens this weekend. It's the story about a space fanatic who tries to make connections with alien life forms to overcome an intergalactic crisis. That sounds even ambitious for a movie character. Elio is a nice family film rated PG, and for what it's worth, PG movies are crushing this summer. Elio is pulling in a very respectable 86% on the tomato meter. And finally, if you're in the mood for what appears to be a terrible movie, check out Bride Hard, starring Rebel Wilson and Anna Camp. Just about 10 reviews in, and Bride Hard is pulling low 20 percentile. Mercenaries take a wedding party hostage, not knowing the maid of honor is a secret agent. I see where this is headed. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some showers and thunderstorms likely in the overnight. Some heavy rainfall possibility as well. Morning lows in the mid-60s, light south to southeast winds. More heavy rain for the first part of your Friday morning. Then we'll see highs in the mid-80s in the afternoon. Right now, it's 67.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us now.
3 in 4 people have no idea that the hospital I work at in northern Minnesota will likely close if this big, beautiful bill passes, as will the hospital in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. So it is incumbent upon us to have these conversations with each other, not in a hostile way, but in a genuine way about our values and the things that we deeply care about.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Quinn Hurley to discuss the Green Bay Tattoo Festival. Chris Ruckdoshel joins me to talk about Muskie Fest in Hayward, and Terry Barr is back from vacation for Bar Band Friday. Let's light it up.
Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Juneteenth Day! It's one of my favorite days of the year, and it is a fabulous celebration all day long here in Milwaukee. Continues tomorrow down at the Summerfest. Is there more stuff going on tomorrow at Summerfest too?
So Summerfest kicks off today. The regular
Summerfest.
Yes.
So the taste of Juneteenth, those two time slots where there's all of these local vendors, tons of food. That was 11 a.m. 12:45 p.m. But I think you can still go to the taste of Juneteenth down at the Summerfest grounds. Yes. You're going to be kicking all this off, are you not?
I will be.
Madam Chairwoman, Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson, you're one of the VIP featured kicker-offers of the celebration. When does all of that go down this afternoon?
So I'll be heading down to the Summerfest grounds. We'll be on the stage at 5:30 p.m. and we'll be kicking off from there. So find me on the stage. You'll find your county executive, your mayor, all the other wonderful elected officials, and Summerfest staff as well as the Northcott Neighborhood House, who will be helping to support the event.
That's great. Well, tell Mr. Mayor and Mr. County Executive that I say hello.
I will.
And that, just to, like, let's take a moment. I've said this before on this show. If you would have told me at the age of, say, 30, a while ago, like almost 20 years ago, that we would have a Black county executive, a Black mayor, a Black chief of police, a black female sheriff, a Black Latina as the chairwoman of the county board, and a Latino man leading the Milwaukee Common Council all at the same time. I would have been like, I'm sorry, are you talking about Milwaukee?
Right. A Black chief judge.
Judge. I forgot about our friend Judge Ashley, who's amazing. Yes, all of that. Mm-hmm. And we should also say Judge Maxine White being elevated, one of the first Black women elevated to the appeals court bench for District 1 in Wisconsin. These are the moments where, like, everything is so dark and terrible with Donald Trump. I mean, awful. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in a moment, specifically how terrible Donald Trump is for Black women who are the backbone of every community and every single justice movement in this nation's history. Again, all of the terrible stuff about Donald Trump, but here in Milwaukee, I always have a hopeful feeling.
Yeah.
I'm so proud to be from here. I love this city. It is so near and dear to my heart. I love all of the neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I bought John Gerda's book. The updated version, I gave out like six of them, including to you.
I have
my
one.
Friend. You got
I
one of
do.
Those very books. The City of Neighborhoods. It's so amazing.
I love it.
But let's get into this. Just before we took a break, we started to get into the concept of intersectionality and the fact that the feminist movement really, in many ways, and many scholars have argued, actually hurt the cause of justice and full pay for Black women, because it really set this cultural normative assumption that white women in the workplace, that became sort of the cultural definition of women in the workplace. And frankly, white women reaped about 90% of the benefit of the movement, right?
Yes.
You look at white women get paid, I think it's 81 cents to the white man's dollar.
Yes.
Black women, it's 62 damn cents.
Yes. Yes.
Right, like almost 20 cents less.
Right.
It's truly, truly shocking. And what we've seen in the Trump administration, and we can get into some of these statistics, but that the gutting of the federal workforce. Well, guess which department in the federal government, Marcy, has 28% of its employees are Black women?
The Department of Education.
Yeah, big shock. So all of this is having this really acute harm for Black women. And in fact, although the U.S. economy has overall added jobs since Donald Trump has become president, Black women have lost north of 110,000 jobs. That is shocking. So I was wondering if you could just speak from your experience a little bit. When these issues have arisen from your perspective, especially let's just focus on your professional life, how have you navigated that? Because it is so challenging when you're getting, it's like mansplained and race-splained, right? Like maybe we're going to coin a new term, race-splaining, when one person tells Black folk how things are, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and I'll talk about it from two folks. I'm in a very unique situation, but I'll start with my role as chairwoman of the county board. Before we went on break, we talked about what I have to deal with, the microaggressions, the white man trying to tell me what is justice and how to impact equity. And it's really, you know, it comes down to the misogyny that I face, the misogynoir, as I call it. And then, you know, you have the media coupled with that is not kind to Black women. And having to navigate that is challenging. You just have so much coming at you all the time. And you're trying to perform for your residents. You're trying to put your head down and just do the work. Because that's why I signed up for it.
Yeah.
I didn't sign up for the attention. I didn't sign up to have my name to go to the ribbon cuttings. But you're constantly battling and trying to prove yourself and trying to overcompensate. And I know that I'm qualified for this role. I've been on the county board for 9 years now. I've been chairwoman for 5. I got elected at the height of the global pandemic. I led our body through that. I've led my body through 4 budgets so far, coming on our 5th. Our last budget was unanimous. That accumulated to almost $6.3 billion in investment in our community. So I know that I'm qualified. I have a college degree. I've done trainings. I've gone to conferences. I've done all the development work. And still I'm being told that I'm not good enough for the job. So that's something that I face as a Black woman in politics. And I'm constantly seeing my sisters in this work, women who are mayors, district attorneys, alderwomen, whatever have you, in other cities and states who are losing their elections because of the rhetoric surrounding Black women post Kamala Harris's race. There is just an assault on elected Black women everywhere. Money poured into these races. We can't compete with the resources that are being poured into some of these races. So you have this attack on political women in the political fight. And then me, because the state assaulted our county board and made us part-time, actually work on the side of this.
Yeah.
And I do training. And I do training in the DEI sector. And my organization that I contract with lost funding. And so I no longer have employment with this organization. And so when we talk about how Black women are being impacted, it's this accumulation of, it's the rhetoric, it's the, you know, it's the misogyny, it's the misogynoir, it's all those things that continually assault us from so many places. And we're, so this has a outward effect, not just on us, but our communities as well.
Yeah, it's really stark. I have said to people before, if you want to know how the middle class, right, air quotes around middle class, is going to be doing in 2 or 3 years, look at how Black women are doing right now.
Right.
Black women as a demographic group are a canary in the coal mine. And it deeply matters. And again, the stereotypes and the rhetoric, which has been the out loud branding of what is no longer a Republican Party, but the MAGA regime,
right,
it is so specific today.
Yes.
Right? Like every cut in the big brutal bill, right, all of that is catalyzed and metastasized in some way by the stereotypes of, yes, old, when the reality is Black women are one of the most employed demographics, yeah, in the country, have, yeah, the low, and but end up, of course, hired last, right, and fired first, or let, right, go first,
right,
because of these very things that you're talking about. Black women are also the most highly educated demographic, yeah, in the country.
Yes.
More degrees than any other demographic, which is really incredible. To paint this in a picture using some famous folks that you and I know, we've got a couple of cuts. Jacob, if you could cue up cut 14, let's take a listen.
I have a career that's probably comparable to Meryl Streep, Julianne Moore, let's Sigourney Weaver, and yet I am nowhere near them. Not as far as money, not as far as job opportunities, nowhere close to it. I have to go in and I have to hustle for my worth. That's what I feel like I'm doing. We won't talk about gender inequality of pay, because a lot of the women who've stepped forward, and I stand in solidarity with them, okay? What they're getting paid, which is half of what a man is getting paid, well, we get probably a tenth of what a Caucasian woman gets. And I'm number one on the call sheet.
The great
Viola Davis.
Dropping some truth bombs.
One of the best actresses that's ever graced this world.
Right. Does not get the same paychecks.
Right.
Here's Octavia Spencer, cut 15, also on this same topic.
But here's the thing. Women of color on that spectrum, we make far less than white women. So if we're going to have that conversation about pay equity, we got to bring the women of color to the table.
Yes.
We built the table.
Yes.
We built the table. And that is the frustrating piece about all of this, is we've been on the front line of justice. We were on the front line of the suffragette movement, Sojourner Truth, that ain't I a woman too. And still in 2024, ain't I a woman, Maggie? We're still having these same discussions.
Yes. One of the greatest traps is what I call the Black woman resiliency trap. It's like, oh, we'll give you this, the hardest work. We won't pay you anywhere close. White women are 20 cents ahead, right? We'll punish you for being strong, yet you require you to be strong and all, like, it is so difficult. And you and I have talked about this in the political sphere. The target for Black elected officials is small. It's almost you can't see it for Black women. You're like, errors not permitted.
Right.
Right. And all you have to do is look at 2024. And I don't, like, setting the partisanship aside for a moment, if you were just looking at the resumes, right, and the names were crossed off them, who the hell would you actually hire? I mean,
seriously.
Hint. Not the orange baby.
That's right. Like, that's right.
For real.
That's right.
All right. We're going to take care of some business. Marcy, do you have to go?
I'll stay on a few more minutes.
Oh, you can. Yeah. Yay. She's coming back with me on the other side. That's Marcelia Nicholson, the County Board Chairwoman of Milwaukee County. My friend and now yours. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
Oh, the music.
Right?
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on WLAKradio.com/contest-terms.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on WLAKradio.com/contest-terms. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Doesn't that track just make you want to put on big old sunglasses? It does for me. Just conjures up that Mary J. of the 1990s, early 2000s. Yes. Maybe boots with the fur.
Some boots with the fur. Yes.
Yes. The whole thing, folks.
The fur jacket.
Yes. Oh, God. I saw her in concert once. It was like a highlight of my life.
Oh, I haven't.
We'll have to do that. We saw Lauryn Hill together. We'll have to do Mary J. Blige, too. That's for sure. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. We're celebrating Juneteenth Day here all across the Civic Media Radio Network on this fine program. And I got a wonderful wonderful guest, helping to kick off what is an entire show's devotion to amazing Black women in leadership roles throughout Wisconsin and in all of our communities. I'm joined this hour by Milwaukee County Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson. She's a dear friend of mine and now a dear friend of yours. Thanks so much for sticking around, Marcy. We've been talking about some of the systemic challenges that are faced by Black women, and yet the incredible justice work that Black women have always engaged in. Again, the justice movements in this country would not have happened but for Black women. And I wanted to just begin by correcting a couple of statistics that I got wrong in the last segment. 106,000 Black women lost their jobs in April alone.
Wow.
But 233,000 Black women have lost their jobs in the entirety of 2025. That is the largest by proportion of any demographic group. It is shocking. Their unemployment rate jumped from 5.1% to 6.1% in just a month. Okay, this is according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. This, again, despite that, the overall economy has added upwards of 175,000 jobs. So other, it's like the double down effect. This is the, this intersections that we were talking about.
Right.
Every other demographic group, unemployment went down, right, went up for Black women, again, despite being the most highly educated demographic in the United States.
Right.
So again, specifically, and there was a segment on NPR talking to a woman like you, a Black woman who worked in the DEI sector and has had their job eliminated.
Right.
And I was told once by a mentor of mine that whenever you see economic contraction mm-hmm. or constriction, it is always the last in, first out.
Yes.
Which, all else being equal, is Black women are always the last to get a seat at the table, though you built the table, as right, you like to say.
Right. Well, but we will persist.
Yes.
We are strong. We are resilient. We are resourceful.
Yes.
And, you know, we have all these women without work. I bet we come back stronger and harder.
Hell yes. And I'll certainly be there along the way, trying to lift up and stand behind, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes, I do. And I know you will.
Yes. So I did want to talk to people a little bit about like what to do if you also want to, you know, confront these realities and say, no, we should really be doing better in this country to actually fulfill and live what our highest principles and values are. You know, one of the things that I like to talk about is there are some really basic things that would help. And again, you want to know how, quote, the middle class, as generally conceived of, is going to be doing in 2 to 3 years. Look at how Black women are doing right now. They are the canaries in the coal mines. So all of this, these policy concepts that I'm going to talk about, Marcy, I want to get your thoughts on this. These will help everyone, right? But they are system change things that are absolutely, like, they're necessary but not sufficient, right, to achieve equity. But they are, in my opinion, very essential to trying to elevate and lift up Black leadership, Black female leadership. And that the first one is universal freaking health care.
Yes, yes.
I mean, yes. Absolutely. What are your thoughts from the, especially from the public education space, as you were a teacher first?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's a no-brainer, and you're 100% right. A rising tide lifts all boats. And if you introduce policies and pass policy that impacts those at the bottom,
yes,
everyone is going to do better.
Yep.
And so we're talking about universal health care. Black women have some of the highest maternal death rates. I believe our death rates are three times that of white women.
3.4, I looked it up.
3.4 times that of white women. Reproductive health care, just basic health care. The fact that you can be healthy and whole and have a good well-being,
yes,
does so much for a healthy community. Education. So as a public school teacher, I taught fourth grade. My students were so challenged to learn because they were coming to the classroom having experienced things like hunger, violence in their community. They didn't have access to healthy green spaces. They were sick. They had asthma. They had mental health issues. And so if we're not investing in housing, if we're not investing in healthcare, if we're not investing in education, if we're not investing in food access, if we're cutting all of those things like the Trump administration is doing, we're harming our communities and we're harming our county as a whole.
Folks, that is one of my sheroes, Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson. I appreciate you so dearly, my friend, and I hope I get to see you down on the fest grounds this evening. I'll hit you up on the text.
Please do. And have fun with the rest of the crew.
Yes. Speaking of the rest of the crew, coming up, we got Sabrina Madison, CEO of the Progress Center for Black Women, Dana Pelamon, Executive Director of the RCC Sexual Violence Resource Center, and the fabulous El Halo of Trans Consulting. Keep it locked. Happy Juneteenth Day. For me, Maggie Dawn, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Severe storms hit the Northeast, damaging winds and flooding Thursday night. There were ground stops at airports in Washington, D.C., Baltimore and Newark, hundreds of flights canceled, thousands delayed, and at the peak, over 500,000 customers without power. A teenager struck by lightning in New York Central Park. He's recovering. And now the heat is on for millions. Extreme temperatures for much of the nation, including parts of California, under extreme heat warnings. The White House giving us a timetable on a potential Iran attack plan, saying that President Trump will make a decision within the next 2 weeks.
All of this is coming as European leaders are expecting to meet with the Iranians in Geneva. One senior official telling us the president hopes this two-week timeline will, quote, give the Iranians some room to come to their senses. But make no mistake, the president still has this high-stakes decision to make, and he's now given himself a deadline to make it.
That's ABC's Mary Bruce. This is ABC News.